In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are you a born-again Christian? In the religious environment of our American context, this may well be a question asked by you of another Christian. It is a question that we are likely to hear time and time again. Of course, the answer that they probably anticipate or expect is, why, yes, I received Jesus into my life. Or, well, absolutely, I made a decision for Christ years ago. But the answer given by a Lutheran to that question, are you a born-again Christian, may well catch them off guard. Are you a born-again? Of course I am. I am baptized. What this means is that a Lutheran does not think that a decision for Christ, an easily identifiable conversion experience, is necessary in order to become a Christian. It is enough to be baptized and taught the catechism, the two very things that the Great Commission enjoins upon us. But how can this be? How is it that we as Lutherans would answer in such a deceptively simple way as to say, I am baptized? The answer lies in the Word of God. In considering the Catechism's treatment on baptism in these first two questions, we could summarize both of them under one caption. What God has joined together, let no person put asunder. In other words, in the first question, grounded in Matthew 28, God has joined together word and water. In the second question, drawing upon Mark 16, the Catechism emphasizes that God has joined together the Word and faith. Well, the first question, what is baptism? Highlights the dignity and glory of baptism. God has joined Word and water together. Now, which word is that? There are types of words. Two stand out in Luther's answer. First, there is the institution of Christ, and second, there is the name of the triune God. With regard to the command, the mandate, the institution of Christ, the Catechism stresses that this is what gives this particular water its glory, its dignity, and its value. The water embraces, grasps, takes hold of the water, much as the setting in a ring takes hold of the jewel within it. The analogy Luther uses in his large catechism is simply that you and I may look at a person who is older than us as like any other person. But the one who is designated as our parent and endowed with glory by virtue of the fourth commandment, we regard them with a special dignity and honor over all others. In a similar way, many of you will be receiving a call in a short period of time. Right now, you look like any other student. No one particularly special. But once you have that call, people are going to see someone who delivers the word of God to them, not because you have particular talents or particular gifts, but because of the word of God that places upon you that responsibility. In addition to the command, you have the name. The triune name in particular. By the triune name being added to the water, it simply means nothing other than it is God who does the baptizing. This is a work of the triune God. Yes, it is no longer natural water. This is God's water. This is divine, holy, blessed water. And what takes place here is no human work, no human activity, but God's own work. Father, Son, Spirit themselves are present. We dare not separate word from the water. To separate them is to despise baptism and to belittle the word. We can separate the word from the water in one of two ways. The first is to consider the water apart from the word. And we only look at the water apart from the word, it looks like any other water. Water we drink, water we give our plants, water we fill the dishes for our pets. In some ways it looks rather unimpressive. The act of baptism, you pour some water, say some words, it's all over within a minute or so. The temptation has to be there to have a little more pomp and circumstance, to dress it up, to add something to the water than what the word has already added to it. But either to regard the water as rather unimpressive or to feel compelled to dress it up is to belittle the word which gives the water its dignity. Similarly, we can separate word and water by focusing primarily on God's work apart from word and water. But we need to recognize that the water is a creature, a veil in which God meets us. We cannot deal with an unveiled God. We cannot deal with God as he is in himself. God has clothed and revealed himself in promises, word, and water. We do not deal with God's work directly in our personal experience. And to look for God's work apart from where he said he would meet us is to disparage his word and the means whereby he meets us. With regard to the second question, now having looked at how the word and water come together, what does this word and water do? In the case of baptism, word and water, faith goes with it. So what does baptism do? What does it achieve? It's a rather simple answer that the Catechism provides. Baptism saves. In other words, baptism does the very same thing that Christ does. Christ saves, baptism saves. Note the similarity in language. In the second article, the explanation, Jesus is my Lord who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. From sin, death, and the power of the devil, he has rescued me. What does baptism do? It rescues me from sin, death, and the power of the devil. In other words, baptism delivers the content of Christ's story. In delivering the content of that story, baptism becomes the instrument by which Christ's victory comes to us. It's interesting in the baptismal prayer, in the baptismal booklet then, Luther warns people, remember what you're doing here. You're hanging around this child, a lifelong enemy. Why? Because you're casting Satan out of this child in baptism, and God is taking his place. Baptism is a friendly takeover, a transfer of lordship, if you will. It provides an anchor for our life so that every morning and evening when we pray, Father, Son, Spirit, watch over me. Baptism, then, makes us Christians. The way Luther translates Matthew 28 is, make disciples of all the pagans. Baptism is the means by which we are transferred from sin and death into life with Christ. But baptism saves all who believe it, as the words and promises declare. Well, how do we know that baptism does these things? The promises declare, the content for you. Nowhere more clearly is the gospel proclaimed than in something like baptism or the other sacraments. I baptize you, I forgive you, body and blood given for you. Believe this word about myself from another person. To believe Christ's word is to be uninterested in the fact that I believe. It's to be captivated by what Christ says to me. To say Christ died for you is gospel. To say I believe in Jesus is not necessarily gospel. I appear in Christ's story as the object, not the subject. Not the doer, but the one receiving at the receiving end of the story. Once again, we dare not separate these. They belong together. If we consider the external act alone, we run the risk of treating baptism as little more than a cute little ceremony destined for the scrapbook with pictures. Baptism doesn't do any good unless it is received. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In a sense, for Luther, faith is quite literally faith in one's baptism. And with it, there's a now and not yet character. On the one hand, we have received the promises of Christ. On the other hand, we do await the final removal of sin. Because baptism comes with a promise, it is not simply deals with our past, it directs us to the future. The second way we can pull this apart is to focus on faith apart from the external work. But then faith has nothing to cling to. The gospel must be external. It has to be grasped and perceived through the senses in order to be brought into the heart. If we only focus on faith apart from the water and the word, all one is left is with faith in the conviction that I have faith, in which case faith has nothing to rely on. For Luther, faith is profoundly unreflective. Faith is focused on the content, not on myself. What God has joined together, let no person put asunder. You don't find a whole lot about baptism these days in the bookstores or in the catalogs. You find an awful lot about conversion, an awful lot about the Christian life. Not much about baptism. In lieu of that absence, the catechism is a pretty good place to begin so that people can extol and live in their baptisms, and in doing so, live in the freedom Christ has won for them. Are you born again? Am I born again? Yes, I am baptized. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.